Are you running on empty?
Good afternoon and welcome. You're listening to The Computer Guys. I'm Dave.
And I'm Kevin. We're The Computer Guys here from Macatawa Technologies for the next half hour to answer all your computer and technology related questions.
That's right, Kev. It's Wednesday, 12:30 here. It means it is time for The Computer Guys here on WHTC. We'd love to hear from you, so give us a call, 395-1450, The Computer Guys here on WHTC. Calling is always the best way, but you're always welcome to send us an email.
The other thing you can do, yep, computerguys@whtc.com. We'll be checking that throughout the show as well as throughout the week. So if you're at a computer, go ahead, send us an email. Again, it's computerguys@whtc.com, and we will do our best to get to it on the show.
That's right, Kev. And of course, you can always listen to our old shows on our free podcast.
That's right. We've got multiple ways to check that out. You can always go to the Apple iTunes Music Store. And type WHTC in and we'll pop up and you can listen to our shows anytime you want. The other thing you can do is go to our website. It's macatawatechnologies.com and we've got a link to the podcast there as well. So either way, whatever you want to do, you can listen to the old shows anytime you want.
And of course, Kev, we'll also have some news stories for our listeners today. Technology and computers and how it's changing and what's
always
going
changing.
On.
Always changing. There's no sitting still with us.
No. It was interesting. I was listening to the station. I was just talking before this yesterday. They had one of the financial guys on there talking about Google Chrome and
sure.
The future of the way that it's just funny. It's just amusing. You know, to me, you know, I like technology, Kev. It's fun to watch how it changes and evolves. You know, they were talking about 30 years ago. For instance, you'd be at work and you had a little computer. Well, the computer itself was really not very powerful. It was fairly inexpensive, and it connected to a mainframe or a server, and the server did all the work, and that's where everything was stored.
Exactly.
Well,
that has changed.
Early 80s, suddenly it was, hey, look it, you can have everything on your own desktop. And we'll continue that conversation in just a second here, but first let's take this call here. Good afternoon, caller. You're on with The Computer Guys.
Yeah, I got an antivirus, Norton antivirus, that's about run out. And I thought I heard before and used something we can go online and get for free, which is good enough for normal everyday emails and so forth.
Sure, yeah, there is that for home, you know, for home, not for business or that type of use, but for home use, there is a program that's free if you're just looking to keep your costs down and for basic protection. It's called AVG.
A is in Apple.
Yep, V is in Victor. G is in Georgia.
Okay.
And if you do a search for AVG, I think it should be probably the first link, or if not first, maybe second for the free download.
Yep, they make a paid version and a free version, so make sure you're just going after the free version.
Okay. It'll say free version?
Yeah, it'll say the address is actually free.avg.com, and you can go there to get that product. But they're going to keep trying to sell you the paid version, so if you want the free one, just make sure you opt for that. Now, it does a decent job. You know, we actually feel like the protection level of the newer version of Norton and the amount of, especially how much it slows down your system, Norton seems to be a more efficient product than AVG. AVG, especially in the newer version, has gotten bigger and bigger, and it's trying to do more, and as such, seems to cause problems on some systems. So definitely worth a try, and if it works fine for you and you're not unhappy with the performance of it, no reason you can't use it. But if you find it slows your system down too much or, you know, it just doesn't do everything you want it to do, you might want to check out one of the paid products.
Comparable to Norton, though, what is this free AVG?
It's just the basic antivirus protection.
Okay.
Also includes some basic anti-spyware. Not a great anti-spyware product, but, you know, Norton's also includes some spyware protection. That's not their strong point. Their strong point is really just the basic virus protection.
Mostly I use email and Craigslist.
Sure, sure. And you know what? As long as it runs fine on your system, you probably will be happy with it.
How do I know if it's running fine or not?
If you notice after installing it, your system runs incredibly slow, or if you find that the product keeps crashing or you keep getting error messages from AVG, that might be a reason to know that you have some problems. The other thing to make sure is before you install AVG that you uninstall your Norton product.
Okay. Okay.
You want to make sure you don't have both of them on there at the same time.
Great.
All right.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks for your call.
And Kev, that AVG is definitely a popular free antivirus program.
Yep, the second biggest free one is probably Avast, which is always an option too.
AVG is a little bit easier to download and install.
AVG is definitely easier to use. Avast can be a little bit more complicated.
So, Kev, as you were saying there, and if you're out there listening, you have any questions for us, feel free to give us a call, 395-1450. But as I was saying, though, Kev, so, you know, in the early 1980s, you started having more powerful home personal computers.
Yep.
Suddenly, you know, hey, yeah, all that stuff that you needed a server for or more powerful work computer, hey, do it right out of your house.
Sure.
Everything is stored at your house. You can put it on disks. You have the control. And that's pretty much the way that we've been operating with computers. You know, you've got a tower where it stores all of your data, or you've got a laptop, everything's in there. Well, I still remember about 10 years ago now was the first time I really understood that the future would be switching back to suddenly it's like you don't really buy a Windows-based computer. You just sort of buy something that connects all your information on the internet.
Exactly.
Well, that is what Google has really been pushing. We announced that they'll be having the Chrome operating system coming out. And Microsoft Office, Kev, get this, will have a free online office. Just the basic features.
Sure.
For some basic stuff.
Sure.
More about that in a second here. Good afternoon, call. You're on with the computer guys.
Yes, I watch a church service on the internet, and it keeps skipping. What would make it do that?
Your internet connection probably isn't fast enough.
Oh, I see.
Has it ever worked correctly for you?
Not really, no.
Yeah, depending on how fast your internet connection is, that is a deciding factor in how well you actually can see that video coming down. Do you find that it seems to play for a couple seconds and then it stops for a little bit and then it plays for a couple seconds?
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It's doing what's called buffering, meaning it just has to keep stopping to load the next chunk of video. Now, if your connection's faster, it doesn't have to keep stopping to do that. So sometimes what you can do to get around that is to pause it. So as you begin playing it, go ahead and pause it. And
it's live.
Okay. Yeah. Then there's not a whole lot you can do about that.
All right. So I should just upgrade.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you know who your internet provider is?
Comcast.
Well, I'm wondering.
Well, how much do you pay a month for your internet service? Is it about $20, $25, or is it higher, about $35 or so?
No, it's $20.
Okay. You have the same internet connection I have. It's just their basic one. And if you jumped up to the next speed, you know, they'll say things like the 3 megabit or the 6 megabit connection. Either one of those should do the trick, but unfortunately, no real way to find out until you try it.
Okay.
But that should do it for you.
Sure.
Yep.
Thanks for your call.
And Kev had that exact same problem. When my sister was graduating from college, we went to my grandparents' house to watch on their computer, and they had the 1.5 meg AT&T DSL connection.
Wasn't fast enough.
Just kept pausing. So we went to the office where we've got a 6 meg, I think, and it was fine.
Well, there you go. It's good to know. So you were in the middle of talking about...
So we've got Chrome. You know, Chrome next year is going to come out with an operating system that really is pretty simple. And it really depends on having a cheap computer that connects to the internet and all your stuff is out on Google's server somewhere. Microsoft is starting to do that as well, where you can have some of your documents online for collaboration with other people so that they're not stored on your server or on your workstation.
Sure, yep.
And it was just interesting listening to this guy speak about this yesterday. He was, he's more of a financial guy, but it is interesting. And hey, you know what? It's going to be great for a lot of people. It's going to be really nice not to have to pay $1,000 for a laptop. Maybe you'll only have to pay $300 for a netbook and you'll have full access to all of your stuff. You won't have to worry about backing up your information and losing it like we see so often where people don't back up and they lose all their information. And it's going to be great for a lot of people. But at the same time, I'm not convinced yet that everybody's going to go that way. You know, there's just so much talk that it's like, well, this is just the way it is.
And especially the jump from home to business is really key because all the stuff that they're talking about now, the first people who adopt this will be home users. And that's what they're planning on, and that's the reality. There's so much out there as far as what's been developed in the business world that runs only in certain environments that would take a massive investment to change over and may not even be possible in the current format.
And one of the other the main arguments is cost. Well, if cost was the only reason that people would switch, then no one would use the iPhone, Kev. No one would buy Apple computers.
Yep.
But as we all know, they're very popular, and you pay a premium for it.
Yep.
And sure, Apple has Mobile Me, and they have some of that stuff, and you can use the Google products through Apple, and you'll be able to use the, should be able to use anyway, the Office online with Apple's. But yeah, it's interesting because we're switching back to the way computers used to kind of function about 30 years ago.
Yeah. It's just that the servers move farther and farther away. Instead of being in-house, now it's somewhere out there. Which also brings up interesting questions about security. And that is something that, you know, we're paying close attention to see how that shakes down. Because the less control you have over your information, the less control you have over your information.
That's right.
And more opportunity there could be for other people to access that. So, and some people aren't comfortable with that.
College students, Kev, it's going to be great for college students.
That's true.
You know, they're always on the go. They're always breaking their laptops. You know,
and the fact is,
and I mean, if their parents are buying $1,000 laptops.
What's all important on a college student's computer? Does anybody really want their
pictures
papers,
and music?
You know?
Yeah.
And not
so,
a big deal.
As long as they've got access to that. But even then, you know, here we live in the United States. It's a huge country. I mean, we've got a lot of space, and this all depends on really fast internet connections. And like the last caller was wondering, why aren't my videos playing? Mm-hmm. Internet connection speeds aren't what they should be at this point.
And even if you look on a global scale, our internet connection speeds aren't very good compared to a lot of other developed countries. So that's going to be a limiting factor, too.
I'm excited because it's going to be a lot of changes. I mean...
And you love change. You don't love change.
Not necessarily,
what's funny about it. Yeah, I know.
No, it's exciting because it's going to be different, you know?
Yep.
It's just, thought we'd talk about that for a few minutes here. I just listened to that guy talk about it yesterday, and there were definitely some things that I did not agree with him on. But, you know, at the same time, everybody has their opinions, and we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah.
We've got some news stories here, Kev. We sent out the McAtala Technologies monthly newsletter here, and, two tips for the month. The first one was about this was Tim's tip of the month, was about the fairly convincing email that's been sent out to a lot of customers. I've seen these recently that looks like it's from Microsoft.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like Microsoft. If you get any emails in your inbox that says it's from Microsoft and they're telling you about a very important update, don't click through that email.
Have you ever gotten an email unsolicited and, you know, when you haven't signed up on one of Microsoft's mailing lists that
came from Microsoft? But no, not
unsolicited. That's what I'm saying. Microsoft doesn't just go around sending people emails. If you've subscribed to one of their lists, maybe. If you're in communication with them about something else, maybe.
Yep.
But they don't just send the general public emails.
Well, the good news about this particular spam mail or virus that they're trying to get you to install, basically, is that the email itself will not infect your computer. There is no attachment on there, Kev. It's simply just a link.
Yep.
And the link takes you to another page where they have a little spot there where you can download a file that's supposedly for your computer.
Sure.
That is when they try to get you to install the virus. The easiest way to make sure that your computer is up to date, go to update.microsoft.com in Internet Explorer. Or if you're in Vista, just go to the control panel into Windows Update and check for updates that way. But anything you get through email, go ahead and delete it because it's probably not from Microsoft. So that was Tim's tip. He'd seen a lot of those, and a number of concerned customers, Kev, they clicked through on that link. Some of them clicked the actual install and some of them did not. So
that's right.
And of course, the second one was just our reminder how important surge protectors can be.
And not only surge protectors that protect the power. That's good. That's a good first step. The second one is a surge protector that also protects the network equipment, meaning your cable modem or your DSL modem, meaning one that has phone line protection if it's a DSL modem or a coax cable protection if it's a cable modem. And you want to put that in line before that connection to the modem itself, and that helps protect that equipment. Because the reality is, surges come in over any one of those lines. Sometimes it's cable, sometimes it's the phone line, sometimes it is the power. And if everything's interconnected, it just kind of makes its way through, damaging components in the process. So the more you can kind of keep the surge out altogether, the better you're going to be in the event of a lightning storm.
And if you think is your power surge protector is actually one of those power strips that you probably purchase for less than $10.
Yep. Flip it over.
Yeah, those are, well, those can be really nice for plugging in lamps or, you know.
Yeah, things that don't require surge protection. Yeah. But if you want to make sure, flip it over, and on the back, it'll either say something about surge protector, surge suppressor, or it'll say temporary power tap. And if it is a temporary power tap, you're probably going to want to make sure you don't plug sensitive electronic equipment into that.
Well, Kev, it's you're listening to the Computer Guys here in WHTC. We're going to take a quick commercial break, but give us a call, 395-1450. You're listening to the Computer Guys here on WHTC.
You may not know you have osteoporosis until your thinned, weakened bones fracture in a bumper fall. Tune into Wellspring on 1450 WHTC on Thursday, July 16th at 11:10 a.m. to learn about osteoporosis and how you can take action against this silent disease. Listen to Wellspring, sponsored by Zealand Community Hospital, every Thursday at 11:10 a.m. on 1450 WHTC, your hometown station.
Thanks to modern technology, you can track the exact location of an overnight package. You can check the weather anywhere on Earth with a few clicks of a mouse. But if you're the victim of a violent crime, there ought to be a way to know the whereabouts of the offender. There is. The Michigan Crime Victim Notification Network is a free, confidential service that provides up-to-date court information and custody status. It can even tell you an inmate's prison release date, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Just call 1-800-770-7657 or visit vinelink.com. That's vinelink.com for more information about the Michigan Crime Victim Notification Network. You'll learn how to be notified by phone or email if there's a change in the offender's status. Concerned citizens can also search for offender information in their own community. Call the Michigan Crime Victim Notification Network at 1-800-770-7657.
Sponsored by the Michigan Department of Community Health and the Michigan Association of Broadcasters.
Bob Evans Restaurants presents Testin' in the Test Kitchen. Today, Bob Evans' 30 meals for $5.99 or less have the chefs making a big deal out of a big deal.
What you doing, Chef Dave?
Blowing up a giant gorilla for the top of the building.
Okay, why?
Well, Bob Evans has 30 meals for $5.99 or less, right?
Yep, something for everyone, every day, at every meal. Like the $5.99 barbecue chicken knife and fork sandwich.
And every great deal needs a giant gorilla. I mean, come on. Our $5.99 saver size country Caesar salad or meat lover's barburrito, this gorilla screams deal.
Chef Dave, know what comes with inflatable gorillas?
Uh-uh.
A lot of hot air.
Oh, so that's why our competition uses them.
Exactly, with their song and dance and every other gimmick. But with Bob Evans, you get 30 real meals at values we've always had.
$5.99 or less.
Sounds like deflation. Ooh, here he goes.
Dine in or carry out. Bob Evans 30 meals for $5.99 or less. Homestyle meals, everyday deals. That's Bob Evans, the home of Homestyle.
Holland's Hometown Station.
Are you running on empty?
Welcome back. You are listening to the Computer Guys. Dave and Kevin here.
We were just talking about Google
and everything else. Talking about Twitter during the break there.
Sure.
But we won't let me rail on Twitter here today.
No.
We will, however, talk about why there's one more reason here, Kev, to be glad you're an American and not living in China.
Tell me.
It's a serious subject. China stops shock therapy for internet addicts.
Wow.
This is an Associated Press story. China's health ministry has ordered a hospital to stop using electric shock therapy to cure youths of internet addiction, saying there was no scientific evidence it worked.
Wow. I had no idea that was going on.
In the eastern province of Shandong, used the treatment as part of a four-month program that so far treated nearly 3,000 youths. The China Youth Daily newspaper has reported.
Now, I'm wondering, is this like they put them in front of computers and every time they touch the computer, it shocks them? Is that what we're looking at here? Or is it just a general shock?
I'm reading through the rest of it here, Kev.
Yes, Dave? Enlighten me.
It does not say.
Oh, it's too bad.
But they say that symptoms of internet addiction include being online for more than 6 hours a day, playing games, looking at adult material rather than working or studying, and getting angry when unable to get online. Now, if
getting angry.
That last part has any...
It's everybody.
That's everyone. It's because everybody. I'll be honest, when somebody's computer isn't working, well, sometimes there's joy. Like if they're overworked or if they're getting burned out at their job,
well, yeah,
there's some joy.
It's different if it's work versus home.
Right.
Because work people sometimes like it when it's, you know, depending, you know, it's a little excuse to not get on the computer. And they like it for a little while. But for the average home person, I'm telling you, the world comes to an end when the internet is not working. So... Interesting.
Yeah, we hear from a lot of parents, man, get this thing back up and running because these kids are...
Driving me crazy.
They can't wait.
That's right.
So anyway, Kev, the Chinese are no longer being shocked to
curb their internet. Well, that's good to learn. That is good to learn. I was concerned about that.
It doesn't say either if this was voluntary, you know, hey, I'm addicted to the internet, please help.
Or,
okay, Kev, here's your shock treatment.
Maybe.
Or like, hey... You haven't left the computer in 36 hours. Come with us.
Yeah, that's right. They come get you, pull you to the shock therapy hospital, and plug you in.
Probably both, but that's
maybe.
Just my
maybe
own.
Some both. Maybe parents report them. Yeah, my child has not left the computer, so the shock therapy police come. Probably with tasers.
You know, it probably would work better if, like, the mouse started shocking you after a certain amount.
Well, that's not a bad idea. I think we've got an idea for a product here.
There you go.
So
another product, Kev, of course, is Windows 7.
Sure. October 22 release date.
Yeah. We've been talking about that, getting excited about it. Microsoft may be getting ready here, Kev. This is a little bit of jumping the gun a little bit here.
Okay.
But you know how Microsoft
you
has different builds?
Sure.
Different builds of Windows 7. Well, one Microsoft way is reporting that Microsoft has significantly incremented the build number of both Windows 7 and Windows Server 2008 R2.
Interesting.
Reports across the web are pointing to a build 7600 for both Windows 7 and Windows Server 2008 R2. This is significant because the bump in the number build would suggest that Microsoft has christened this build as the release to manufacturing build.
Wow.
RTM is expected to be giving out to Microsoft partners sometime later this month and launched on October 22, the day of general availability.
There we go.
So at July 10 is when they... the rumors have it that the final build of Windows 7 was completed at 7:45.
Wow. Look at that.
So as of the latest leaks are the 7200 version builds. So
okay,
we hopefully Windows 7 is done.
Yeah.
And ready to go.
Ready to
and
roll.
They're just waiting now.
Maybe
waiting
doing
for
some
October.
Additional testing maybe.
Well,
you know, it could be a good idea.
Once they're done.
They're working on the first service pack probably right now.
probably
getting it ready.
Start that up in a couple weeks.
That's right.
So, of course, that's a big step, Kev, because we went how many years from XP to Vista 5? 2001 to Express, winter 2007. So,
yeah.
5.5 years.
Yeah. So,
that was pretty good. So, we're at Vista's been out now for 2.5.
Man, it's a long time. Doesn't feel like it's been that long.
It really doesn't. I still remember talking about getting excited here, Kev, on the Computer Guys when Windows XP Service Pack 2 was coming out because it had a built in pop up blocker.
Yep, that was good.
Remember that?
Also,
and better
wireless networking, huge improvement there. Man, we've been around a long time, Dave.
Well, the world of technology we have, Kev. The world of technology we have.
Hey, other Microsoft news. Bing, their search engine, gained on Google again and also on Yahoo. Microsoft captured 8.4% of U.S. internet searches in June, up from 8% the month before. Those came largely at the expense of Yahoo, whose shares fell. The other thing to think about with Bing is they have integrated a full-blown Twitter search engine. This was as of today, Bing Tweets. And I think you can go to bingtweets.com to see that. And I think if you do some, there might be a function from within Bing itself, but it gives you a way to search the Twitter feeds that are out there for, you know, anything that you might be interested in. Separates them out by popular terms as well as popular people, places, and products. Started integrating some Twitter search results in the main Bing search engine a few weeks ago, but these were only from very popular Twitter users. So now it's open to the general public. So check out bing.com for more information on that. And man, I do love those pictures, I have to say. The on the Bing homepage, those pictures they give you,
they're cool looking pictures.
They are great pictures.
And you
pictures.
Put your mouse over different parts of it.
Yeah, you learn a lot about whatever that is. The day that they did... gosh, those were like the saltwater hot springs or something.
Oh, that was
in
cool.
Turkey. That was awesome. I never knew anything about that, and it caused me to go out there, go check out the Wikipedia entry, go check out more information on those things. didn't know what it was, so I had to look into it a little bit.
Very funny cute. Thing, Kev, my personal opinion, yes. I like the Google homepage or the Google search results better, the way it's formatted, the colors, and just something about it I like better.
Sure.
But I've always thought the homepage of Google was a little silly. You know, I mean, they changed. It's the 4th of July. They put a little cartoon there or something.
Yeah.
Whereas I've always liked the Bing homepage much better.
Yep.
Like give us a call here, 395-1450. You're listening to the Computer Guys here on WHTC. Also, Kev.
Yes.
I showed you this one this morning, but I think our listeners would be interested in this as well. If you use Firefox or Chrome, the Google browser, go to the Google Maps, and between the little, it's they really need to make the icon bigger. But if you go to Google Maps in Chrome or Firefox, in the upper left-hand corner of the map, there's a little circle. And if you put your mouse over it, it says My Location. Well, if you've used Google Maps for mobile, you're familiar with My Location. With a single click of a button,
yep.
Your approximate location is shown on the map with a blue circle. And now, Kev, now the Google My Location shows up on a desktop or a laptop as well. And it's actually really accurate. We tried it at the office, and it was only about a half block off. That's pretty good.
That is pretty good. Did you look into any more as to how it works?
Well, I haven't had a chance yet.
Okay.
It takes advantage of the W3C geolocation API standard. Whatever that is, I don't know.
Yeah.
But that's how it does it.
Does use Google Gears, so you have to have Google Gears installed. If you don't, it's going to pop up and say, hey, you need to install this. So
Kev, why would you might like to use My Location? I mean, if you're at your house, obviously you know where you are.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what if you're traveling? If you take your laptop to, you're at a hotel, yep. For instance.
But again, have to be connected to the internet.
Yeah, if you're connected very to the important. Internet. Just click on that and it'll show you restaurants or a variety of businesses throughout the area.
This is funny because I'm doing it right now and it's not right.
No, it's not perfect.
No, because it has to do with your internet connection as to like determining your information. But this one's dropping me in Grand Rapids. So somehow the internet connection here is routed through there. So it's not necessarily perfect.
No.
It's worth a shot. All it's doing is ascertaining your location based on some parameters of how you connect to the internet. The difference with Google Mobile is it's actually, if you've got the built-in GPS on your phone, which a lot of them do, it utilizes the GPS, which makes it much more accurate. So cool feature here. One thing it can be good for, too, is when you're creating a mapping, assuming that it finds the right destination, it's really easy to map to another place and get some driving directions based on that. So
I thought it was pretty cool nonetheless.
It is cool.
But it is much cooler when you actually have GPS and it actually tells you specifically where you are.
Yeah, and the nice part is it tracks. Like if you do the location and you set that, it'll stay, keep that spot in the middle of your screen and all the routes and roads will change. Again, you have to be connected to the internet. If you get out of your service area, it stops being able to determine, to pull those maps.
You have that on your phone, Kev?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You should check it out sometime.
That's pretty nice.
It's pretty cool. So that is something else that's in the news. You got any other
I
cool
do.
Stories?
I have one more here.
Sure.
It's not to scare people, but beware the airport wireless. A recent study by Silicon Valley-based security company shows that black hats have been ramping up their use of tempting free or unsecured wireless access points in high travel areas like airports and hotels. According to the study, even the secure networks weren't all too safe. 80% of the private Wi-Fi networks at airports surveyed were secured by the aging wireless equivalent privacy WEP protocol, which was cracked back in 2001. Almost as many, 77% of the networks they surveyed were actually private peer-to-peer networks, meaning they weren't official hotspots. Instead, they were running off someone else's computer.
Yep.
And I'll be honest, whenever I travel, I'm always afraid to connect to the internet. Like at a cafe or anything, I'm always a little nervous.
Yeah.
Never know what it could be.
Never know. So maybe another reason to bring your own internet connection wherever you go.
Yeah.
check that out. That music means it's the end of another show. Thanks for tuning in today. If you weren't able to tune in or you want to pass this on to your friends, you can always check out the podcast. Type WHTC into the Apple iTunes Music Store or go check out our website, McIntyreTechnologies.com, for those podcasts. If we weren't able to take your call today, give us a call during the week. 394-4940 is our number. We are from McIntyre Technologies. We're located on the south side of Holland. That is 399 East 32nd Street, one block west of the corner of 32nd and 31.
That's right, Kev. Well, thanks again, and have a great week.